Good morning and welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm Pastor Bruce Mulberry with At Liberty Ministries, located in Pottstown, PA, with Hopewell Community Church. And we're glad that you could be with us this morning. I have great thoughts for today that God's going to be sharing some things through a great missionary out in California. But before we go there, we're dealing with Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and the greatness that God creates with a purpose. And with that purpose, he sends us into his world to share his glory. Ephesians 1 talks about to the praise of his glory, and it's a great joy for us to be able to be trusted by God to be his messenger to the world around us. Dare to Dream is about being able to think about what God wants in our lives and to plan for the future, to set our goals and then to work for those goals. We've laid the foundation that dreams are the birthplace for fantasy or vision. What do you have in your life, fantasies or vision? Fantasy says we don't set our feet forward and take step after step to reach a goal. Vision, our faith motivates us. God's love compels us to do our best and to go to work to achieve those goals that God puts in our lives. And that's what Ephesians is all about, that we would be filled with understanding and that we would know the hope of his calling and that we would be able to move forward with his inheritance, bringing it to him. And as we got into chapter 2, we saw the horrible state that we find man in. And then in Ephesians 1, 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. God wants to declare himself to us. Are we listening? Are we really ready to move forward with what God has called us to? Ephesians 2, 6 says he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, we might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is what our life is about, being able to do good works that Christ has prepared beforehand that we could walk in them. And God is wanting to work his good workmanship in us. Today, we have the joy to have on our program the opportunity to get to know Matt and Bethany Herman. They are missionaries to a unique subculture in America. We've been talking about vision and how God builds our vision. Matt and Beth have a great testimony to share on how God builds their vision and they're walking it out. About 5 years ago, I had the joy of turning over my daughter's heart, that's Bethany, in marriage to Matt. So Matt's my son-in-law, and it's a joy to watch them minister there in California. Their walk with the Lord is an exciting venture as they continue to grow in love with each other, sharing a gift in evangelism and a passion to share Jesus. They also have given us 4 beautiful grandchildren, and of course, I'm a little prejudiced with that, but they are great grandchildren, full of life and hope, going into the next generation of blessing that we've always talked about with the ancient past and how we need to be having generational blessings and preparing the next generation to be able to worship our Lord. Welcome, Matt. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Solid Rock Climbers for Christ.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for having me. So, yeah, we're with an organization called Solid Rock Climbers for Christ, and they are based out of Bend, Oregon. And just a quick background on them, their main goal is to reach the climbing community, so to reach the unsaved rock climbers. And it's not a climbing club of any sort. Their main goal is to share the good news. So what they do is we do that a lot through different areas around the country and around the world, and we serve the climbing community, find ways to get in there and help them, you know, be it by free food, free places to stay, and have that to help us open doors to share the gospel.
If one wanted to find out more about Solid Rock Climbers, how would they get in touch with Rock Climbers, Solid Rock Climbers for Christ?
They have a website, and the website is www.srcfc.org. Or if you just Google Solid Rock Climbers for Christ, you'll find their info on there.
Great. And do you have an email address that you get contacted in?
Yeah, if you go to that website, my contact info is on there, and you can contact me directly from there.
Great, great. As we were mentioning, you have a unique type ministry because you're reaching out to a unique subculture. I consider it extreme sport. I don't know if you guys do. And all that you accomplish through the lower rock climbing, I believe you call that campusing, and then the tall rock climbing with the ropes and things. How did you get involved with that?
Into the ministry?
Yes.
So it was kind of during our, part of my salvation story, or at least when I was led to wholeheartedly pursue God, was when we were living in Texas. And it was one of those times where I was looking at Scripture and looking at my life and saw the gap and saw that things didn't quite align with the promises of God and my actions displaying a belief in those promises. There was a huge gap there. I'd see some promises and see my life, and I'd say, well, my actions don't show an actual belief in these promises, in the words of God. And I was convicted and motivated to pursue God, pursue obeying his commands and believing those promises. And it was something we had always talked about, even before that, doing something in missions. And like most people, you want to do something in, South America and those areas. But we kept praying about it and seeking out different options, and we realized we were rock climbers. I was a rock climber before I was a Christian. We love rock climbers. It's this amazing group of people, this amazing culture that needs the gospel like anyone else. And we thought, hey, we love rock climbers. Let's do something with rock climbers. And just from a simple Google search for Christian climbing things, Christian climbing clubs or something, we found Solid Rock Climbers for Christ and hooked up with them, called them and talked to the director, and things just kept snowballing after that. And then we ended up moving out of our house in Texas into an RV and traveling a little bit to reach the rock climbers, and then settled now in Bishop, California, where we've been for about 2 years or so.
And for me, that's a long ways away from my grandkids, but I survive. Yes. In Bishop, what made you choose Bishop?
Bishop is the climbing mecca. So this is a place we're told to go forth and proclaim the gospel to all nations. And this place is a huge blessing because all the nations come to Bishop to go rock climbing. So it's a great place where there are, a person from every different culture, almost every different country of the main countries, and definitely almost every different continent that come to this one little tiny town to go rock climbing.
And how do you meet up with them?
What we do now is when we first moved there in the RV, we lived out of the RV and we would live at the climbing campground with the climbers. There's one particular popular campground called the Pit, and we lived on site just living at the campground. And there's climbers who come during the climbing season, which is the winter, fall to winter, so around October through February. And they'll stay there the whole time living out of a tent or their car just to rock climb as much and often as possible. So we were living amongst them, and when we're not, we do events there at the climbing campground. So almost every Sunday now, we do a free breakfast and free coffee event. And there's about 80 campsites, so anywhere from 80 to 200 people, if it's a busy and holiday weekend, will be there. And we have free food for them, and that's, again, just a way to open the door for God's word. And we'll get into just incredible gospel conversations with a lot of these climbers and campers.
You mentioned that a lot of folks come from different parts of the world, as well as from around the United States. And without, sharing too much personal information, because, that's their private life and all of that, what kind of folks have you met up with?
You get the whole gamut. You get people from the Los Angeles, San Francisco area that are a little more wealthy that come there just on weekends to climb and camp. And we also see some families that come with their children that are there just, not even to climb, but just to hang out and camp. And then we also see people from a lot of different countries. We see a lot of Canadians, Europeans that come out there. And that's just, a whole different, they're in that climbing community, but it's a different culture, different way of life. And then you also see people who just live there at the campground all year long. And we've kind of given them the name Desert Rats. This is a high Sierra, high altitude desert in that area. And these guys just live out of vehicles in the desert. So you get anything from the wealthy people coming in for the weekend to the person who has chosen to live out of a vehicle, or who is in a situation where they are homeless and they just live out of a vehicle or a tent.
And what kind of background do they usually come to the campgrounds with? Have a God fear or a God awareness, or are you a sort of a level one, introduce people to God, or introduce God to these people? Or do you find them with a religious stance understanding already in their life?
Well, we know from from Romans that everyone knows that God exists, and they suppress the truth to continue in that sin. And we talk to these people knowing that truth, that they do know God exists. And you do get a kind of a wide variety of where people stand with that. Some people are continuing to suppress that, and they've made up a different God to replace the one true God. And then you get people that are definitely seeking. You know, they are hanging on to your every word just to learn some truth about God, and they have tons of questions. So we do see, again, that full spectrum of people who are in complete denial of God up to the person who is seeking and asking questions. And sometimes we're able to, you know, even though they're traveling, we're still able to follow up with them and maybe even see them sometime later, you know, a year down the road when they come back for the season, we'll see them again and catch up with them.
How have you prepared, or how has God prepared you to be able to go with your evangelism gift? As I've been watching you and Beth work your lives, and as you continue to grow in your faith and wisdom with the Bible, and at first the witnessing aspect was not a real strong aspect, and now it's a phenomenal expression as you share your gifting and Holy Spirit's gift in evangelism to you. And beyond that, actually an office that you're starting to walk in with evangelism. How did you grow in that? What did God use to bring you into more knowledge and being comfortable in sharing your faith?
Mainly His Word. I mean, that's been the biggest thing, is just constantly being in His Word to know the truth. There's a really good example. I forget where I heard this, but it was about people who work for picking out counterfeit money. And what these people are given is they're given real money to sift through their hands every day, day after day. Just real money is going through their hands, going through their hands, going through their hands. And again, hour by hour, day by day, for a long period of time. And eventually they slip in that counterfeit bill and they immediately spot it. They've been sitting there with the real deal the entire time, and they know the real from the false. They can spot that false bill in an instant because all they know is the truth. All they know is that real bill. And it's so important to be in God's Word, and that's definitely what's grown us the most, is when you're in His Word, you know God. You know who God is, who Christ is. And that helps us talk to people, feel different questions. You know, there's a lot of things that come up that questions, you know, there's a lot of common questions people give you that you don't need to field an answer, because that's not a belief of the Christian. There's no truth of what they're asking. You can kind of push that aside and go on to more pressing matters and more truth. So I'd say that the number one thing that's built us up is His Word. And it's definitely not by our doing at all. You know, He's given us a desire to be in His Word, a desire to pray more. And certain brothers or sisters in Christ have been placed before us as examples or people to lean on and discuss things with and grow with them. And looking back, I can definitely say that it's not my doing. I'm definitely a whole new creation. I'm sure you can attest to that. And in the past, you know, before becoming a believer, I didn't like talking to people. I really didn't even like people at all. I didn't like spending any time with people. And at this point, I love conversations with people. You know, I love discussing things. You know, in the past, I would never walk up to a stranger and ask them anything personal. And you know, there's a time now where the gospel salvation is so pressing that I'm compelled to discuss it with people and bring it up as much as possible. And it's definitely not my own doing. Definitely the Holy Spirit and God just changing me and giving me those new desires.
As those new desires fashioned within your spirit and within your soul, one of the statistics that I see in churches today, that only a very, very, very small percentage of people that are in active churches where they preach Jesus Christ, where they share the salvation message, where people are growing in knowledge because they're studying the Word and in the Word, still only a very small percentage of people from within the church actually share and are motivated to start conversations with those that they don't know, especially with those that they don't know. And of course, with friendship evangelism being so strong in a lot of places, and it is a very good way to do it. How do you initiate conversation with people and just start opening God? How does God open that door for you to be able to share your faith? And then on top of that question, what is it that you talk about?
Those are good questions. I do want to mention another ministry. It's called the Living Waters Ministry, based out of California, out of Huntington Beach. It's a ministry with Ray Comfort. And that has been a great tool for me and for some of the brothers that come alongside of me to go out and evangelize and speak with these climbers. All of us have fallen into that ministry for a lot of different tools, and there's a lot of videos they do of Ray Comfort talking to people, and that's definitely one tool that helped build our confidence. And definitely when I first started, it helped build my confidence on, you know, what to say, how to get into those conversations and things like that. So I definitely recommend that for anyone that's interested. And, you know, for the question of, you know, what we talk about, how to get into it, the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel with it. And the more you do it, the more different questions you get that you have to answer, then you feel more comfortable with those questions. And you still go into it with a little bit of fear. You know, we're always trying to get over that fear of man. And, you know, almost every time going out, knowing I'm going to serve and make it my goal to spread the gospel, there's always that fear there that you have to overcome, even no matter how comfortable you feel, that fear is still there. And it's definitely, it takes prayer to get through that in faith. But for bringing up, you know, how to get into that conversation, we're doing a breakfast. The organization, again, is called Solid Rock Climbers for Christ. And we have a little banner we put up. And, you know, that's an easy one where you can say, hey, you know, Solid Rock Climbers for Christ, what do you think about that? What do you think about Christ? Do you know who Christ is? An easy way to get into that conversation. Or, you know, for these travelers, you find out where they're from. Hey, you're from L.A. Do you guys go to a church in L.A.? And people are surprisingly very open to, I mean, well, I guess not very, very surprisingly, people are open to give you their opinion on just about anything. And even on religion, believe it or not. So you can get into those conversations very easily. You're not trying to just drag information out of them. They will very openly, just by asking what church do you go to, where you're from, they'll very openly give you their opinion on if they go to a church and why or why not. And it's just about praying before, praying during. I definitely pray a lot when I'm speaking to someone on where the conversation should go, you know, how to get God's word in there. And there's many times where you get stuck in a conversation going nowhere. You know, one part of me that grabs a hold of me is, you know, my flesh, where I love climbing and I'm with all these climbers and I want to talk about climbing. So we'll get into this climbing conversation, and sometimes 15 minutes go by and the whole time I'm praying for some lead-in into the gospel. And sometimes I fail to take that next step, and the person may walk away. And I'm a little disheartened because I've failed at giving the gospel message. But we know God's hand, his providence isn't everything. We have to press on and, you know, move to the next person and try to bring in that conversation. But any simple lead-in to Christianity, church, what church do you go to? Hey, you're from Spain. What's the religion over there in Spain? I'm not familiar with that. And they'll lead in, and you can kind of ask, hey, where do you fall into that? Do you believe that religion? You know, why don't you go to church?
Are you able to bring them to that decision of relationship with Jesus on every discussion, or do you sometimes just leave seed?
I think every time we're throwing seed. And we never ask for any kind of decision. Personally, I don't believe that that's our part. You know, we're called to plant seeds, to water. God will bring that growth. It is important that we urge people. You know, it's a very pressing matter. It's a timely decision, you know, the gospel in someone's life. We don't know when this person is going to pass, when they're going to die, and they need that message of salvation. So we definitely plant seeds. We do take people through the full gospel. We always try to get them to mainly, you know, who God is. You know, try to quickly tell them who God is, the one true God, creator of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of man, and then we'll take them through who they are in God's eyes, which is a sinner. You know, all their greatest goods are but filthy rags, and there's none good, not no one. And we take them through that. We'll take them through the law, you know, the Ten Commandments. You know, this is God's moral code, so we'll take them through. And how do you look in God's eyes? You know, if you stood before him, would you be innocent or guilty? And there's no way that we can be innocent before God by his standards. And that leads them into this idea that they need something. When they stand before the one true God, the Creator, they're going to be judged and found guilty. You know, a lot of them try to get out of it, and, oh, well, they'll still find me innocent, you know, for the good things I've done. And we say, well, God says that there are none good, and there are no good deeds that are pleasing. You can't earn your way into heaven. So we'll take them through that, and then that will lead into the gospel, the good news. You know, the first half is the bad news, and then that leads into the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came, and yet while they're still sinners, Christ died on the cross for them. And that's that loving act, that perfect love, that yet we were still haters of God, he died for us. And we lead them and, you know, push repentance and turning away from that sin and turning to Christ. So we plant the seed, leave them at that, you know, give them our information and, you know, always urge them to get into Word, to pray, to ask God to give them that gift of repentance.
Wow. Going back to Daring to Dream, I always find your ministry fascinating, Matt, in the way you reach these folks that aren't expecting to meet up with Christ out in the middle of a rock climbing event. But in your own walk, can you share with us a little bit, because, of course, knowing you personally, you actually were moving toward a nutrition degree and got it and started working in nutrition. And while you were in the process of working with that, God helped you focus more closely on your gifts of evangelism and then using that natural event of you loving rock climbing and your passion in rock climbing to help focus your vision a little more. Could you share a little bit about your internal heart issues of what you were trying to work through a little bit with moving into one goal and changing over to a different one?
Okay. I had a degree in nutrition. I was on this track to become a registered dietitian. And that was when we were living in Texas. And yeah, again, kind of part of my salvation. I don't know an exact moment or time when God saved me, but I noticed there is definitely an old self and a new self. You know, the old desires of the world, desires for myself, and then the desires of God, desiring to please Him, desire to spread the gospel. And with, you know, the struggles I had, there was a point definitely as a nutritionist where I, you know, we always had this background goal of a dream, you could say, of doing missionary work. But it was, hey, let's wait until I get this title, registered dietitian, as a fail-safe, just in case, you know, just in case serving God fails, I'll have this really easy job to get into with a good pay. And it was really, God definitely opened my eyes to that I had no faith. I was, you know, kind of doing things on my own terms and, you know, let me set things up perfectly so that when I put my faith in God, I have these, you know, fail-safes just in case everything fails with God. And it was a struggle realizing that, and I was definitely pursuing the usual American dream, you know, a good steady job, a house, these things to help me feel secure. And yeah, it's a good time I realized that I wasn't pursuing God. You know, I wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. I was seeking first myself. And it was definitely a struggle kind of turning that direction amongst a lot of criticism from different people that I'm leaving this career and a great path towards this great career to drive around in an RV to rock climbers. So it was definitely very difficult to make that transition, but we always had faith in God that His promises were true, and we were pushing forward and seeking first His kingdom. And, you know, He promises He'll take care of our needs when we do that.
And that faith walk has really been amazing, Matt, to me, watching you and Bethany grow in that faith and walk it out the way you've been walking it out. Thank you so much for your time that you shared with us. It's been a pleasure hearing your heartbeat and hearing what God's got for you. It's a real thrill to watch you and Beth share Jesus and grow and be moving forward. I honor you, and just as a dad-in-law, just say publicly I'm proud of you, and say thanks again for sharing on the program here. For our listeners, I just want to close our time today with some thoughts about where are you headed? There was a quote that we started giving out in the last couple of weeks that we heard through an interview with Steve Garrett that says you've got to go where you've never been in order to get what you've never gotten. And Matt's testimony, I think, just shares that in a big way, changing from the nutrition over into the rock climbing and then leaving his home in security with kids and going out into the RV and into some places that I lovingly call them my hippie kids because of what they're accomplishing in life and the way they're accomplishing it. But they've gone into a place where most people aren't willing to go in order to get that call of God and the smile of God on their life and where they're headed. What are you doing in your life in order to accomplish that? That's been our study this entire time. And I pray that you're finding the Word of God to be mighty in your spirit. As Matt said, that the one thing that he can point to in his life that has given him the strength to be able to be the witness that he is the Word of God and being in that Word of God. And I pray that you're taking time to be studying what that is about, taking time to be in that. If you'd like to know more about Hearts at Liberty, that's heartsatliberty.com on the internet. You can reach me at Pastor B at Hearts at Liberty, Pastor Bruce, Pastor B at Hearts at Liberty. Liberty. Would love to be able to share and correspond with you as you're growing in your faith and the dreams that God's giving you. Send me an email and let me know what God's doing in your life, and let's correspond a little bit as God's preparing you for your dreams to come into true vision, not just fantasy. Come join us if you're not in a local church, to Hopewell Community Church out on Route 100 on the northwest side of Pottstown in Five Points, just north of 422. We'd love to have you come and join us at Hopewell Community Church. And we meet on Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, or 10:30, excuse me, to see what God might be doing in your life. As God brings you to your hope, your dreams, and His glory, your good, God wants to do His favor upon you. May you walk in the smile of God. God, release your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's Minute with the Master, brought to you by Bella Victor.
What is the Christmas story? Christmas story is a story of kingdom lost and regained. God made a perfect world, created Adam and Eve in His image, and placed them in the Garden of Eden. He gave them unconditional authority over the earth. But man was deceived by Satan and gave the authority over to him. Man sinned by disobeying God's instruction and lost his rights. To help reclaim the rights that man lost, God granted His Son Jesus authority over all people, John 5:17, and sent Him to earth to pay the price for our sins. Through His death on the cross, Jesus won victory over Satan. He made those who believe in Him joint heirs with Him, as said in Romans 8:17. Now if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is the Christmas story, God fighting for us and giving back our rights.
This is A Liberating Truth, brought to you by Bella Victor. For more information, contact Bella at MinuteWithTheMaster.com.
Merry Christmas! This is Carla DeDessi, the author of the Julia Learns Children's Book Series. A book is a gift like no other. This is a book that actually keeps giving and giving every time you read it to your child. So this Christmas, give the gift of imagination, the gift of adventure, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of wisdom. Go to Amazon.com today to order your books just in time for Christmas. Did you know that I also have coloring books? And recently, all of my books have been translated into Spanish. Each of my books is the perfect size to nestle right inside of your child's stocking. They're great stocking stuffers, so go to Amazon.com today. Merry Christmas and Feliz Navidad for ages 5 to 10.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
In Psalm 39:7, King David said, "My hope is in the Lord." David's hope wasn't some idle wish. It was a solid confidence that kept him going in the worst of times. Where's your hope? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Having a fixed and certain hope in the Lord is beyond value and measure in our walk with God. It's said that if you take away a man's wealth, you'll hinder him. If you take away a man's purpose, you'll slow him. But if you take away a man's hope, you'll stop him. That's why our personal walk with God must be more than theory. It must be more than a once-a-week prayer or an occasional Bible reading. Our walk with God must revolve around the person of Jesus Christ in a daily walk led of the Spirit of God, not of our ambitions, our goals, or our finances. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network. Can you say with the psalmist, I will be unmoved because my hope is in the Lord?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.